Welcome to the Students of the Game podcast, hosted by Matthew DeMarty.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth.
Come on.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Hey!
Bring them out, bring them out.
Yeah.
What's up, guys? On today's edition of the SOTG podcast, we have a very special guest. Today, left-handed pitcher with the Atlanta Braves, Sean Newcomb, is joining us to talk about his breakout campaign in 2018, how he developed as a player, and how he trains now to continue to improve. Sean, in 2018, sustained a breakout campaign, throwing 164 innings with a 3.9 ERA, a 4.14 FIP, had nearly 9 strikeouts per 9 innings, had less than 4.5 walks per 9 innings, and gave up about 1 homer per 9 innings. Sean looks to be a part of the Braves' budding core and their rotation for years to come, and we were extremely excited to have the opportunity to talk to him. Now, without further ado, let's kick it over to Sean and see what he has to say. What's up, guys? We're excited to bring you Sean Newcomb, and Sean is here now. What's going on, dude?
Hey, what's up? How are you?
Pretty good. We really appreciate you coming on. So how's your offseason started so far?
It's been good. You know, I got back mid-October. Just been kind of taking a break for a week or two there and then got back into it, you know. Starting to get going, got throwing, probably starting here in the next week or two, so it's getting going.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so first question I want to ask for you is, obviously you're a Northeast guy, you're a Mass guy, close to where I went to college, and obviously Northeast guys are kind of underrepresented in professional baseball, so we all look up to you as one of the guys who's made it. But looking back, obviously you went to Hartford, which isn't, it's not a glamorous SEC or ACC school. You sustained a really big velocity jump throughout your collegiate career, and obviously into your professional career. So growing up, developing as a high school kid and a college kid, what do you think allowed you to have the biggest spikes in velocity?
I'd say the velocity was never anything I was super focused on. You know, obviously everyone always wants to throw harder, and it's cool to throw harder. But for me, it kind of just came honestly naturally. I'd say the biggest jump happened from the end of senior year of high school through to about the summer of after my freshman year in college. I think it was just a combination of, you know, smart weightlifting. You know, I was at a college with the college program versus just being in high school, and then just I put on some weight, you know, and then Coach Blood over at Hartford did a good job of really kind of teaching me how to pitch. I was always out there trying to, you know, let it rip my whole life, trying to throw as hard as I could, and he really taught me how to use my legs and just kind of get mechanically sound, and I feel like that was probably the biggest thing for me.
Yeah, it's a great answer, and there's kind of two things I want to key on there. Quickly, the first is, you said train smarter. What was training smarter for you then?
For me, I mean, just having some kind of program, really. I mean, in high school, for me, I never had any, you know, baseball-specific kind of workouts. I was always a three-sport athlete, and I played a lot of football, and a lot of my focus was there, as well as baseball, so... You know, I'd be in bench pressing and squatting and doing all the, you know, the typical weight room stuff that you see high school kids doing. And then I got to college and they introduced a lot of arm care, a lot of emphasis on the lower half strength and just how that works through your core and through your arm and everything. And kind of and that, along with, like I said, the mechanical part of it, they both kind of clicked really well at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great answer. And just to build on the mechanical part, you talked about using your legs. Were there any specific drills or cues that your coach used at Hartford that really allowed you to sync up your mechanics better while you were there?
I think going from high school to college, my mechanics initially were pretty kind of not jagged, but like it just wasn't smooth. It wasn't as smooth from the leg lift all the way through to my right foot hitting the ground. You know, my hips didn't really know what I was looking for, really, kind of. So we kind of worked a lot with different things. One drill, like dropping, like there's one drill I drop back like a quarterback 2-3 steps and then just use that back leg and, you know, explode forward. And that was one that I felt, you know, really helped me just find where I was comfortable, where I felt the most strength in that back leg drive. So then you can slowly translate it over, you know, to it now.
Yeah, definitely. It's a That's a great answer. So just to build on that, obviously you touched upon what you're doing this offseason a little bit. After kind of your first full season in the bigs, what are you focusing on your training this offseason so you can build off your successful campaign this year?
For me, it's just kind of keeping it myself where I'm at as far as the strength goes. You know, you get into, you know, the end of July, August, September, the season starts getting longer, you start to feel your body kind of getting more tired. So having had my first full season, I realized how I felt there in that second half. So I'm definitely going to do, you know, maybe put in a little extra work as far as that goes, as conditioning and, you know, trying to get the stamina up, because that was one thing I did notice, that after a lot different than doing, you know, 142 in the minors or getting called up halfway through. It's just a different type of grind. So I think mentally for me is where I'm going to benefit the most, because I know what to expect and I know what's to come as far as spring and everything. So I feel a lot more comfortable just, you know, going through my program, not changing too much.
Yeah, for sure. What does your in-season training look like? Do you lift at all, or are you just trying kind of maintenance, doing arm care and recovery stuff?
During the season, you continue everything. I mean, you got to go off how you feel. If you finish a start and the next day you wake up and you're feeling really, really terrible, that might be a good 5-day rotation to kind of take it easy in the weight room. But yeah, I usually get right back after in the weight room the day after I lift. The day after I pitch, sorry. And then I'll get in there on day two or three and do some kind of other lifting. But then as far as the arm care and the maintenance and everything, that's pretty much every day. I mm-hmm. do some type of arm care, or at least try to every day. I have a pretty general program I follow. And then the maintenance and everything, the training step over there is great. You know, you can get anything worked on whenever you need it to. So,
yeah, that's definitely super helpful over the course of 162 and now working deeper in October like the Braves hope to do again next year. So talk a little bit, shift topics over to the analytical side of the game. Obviously the Braves are starting to invest more in analytics and they're a growing department. But you as a player, do you use analytics at all? Like, do you like to look at advanced scouting reports? Are you a big tech guy, or how do you use it?
I mean, I've seen it kind of grow, obviously, slowly over the past few years. You know, I remember being at Hartford, we kind of had an iPad where we'd get our mechanics on and video it, and that's kind of my first introduction to using any kind of tech as far as pitching goes. And then, you know, this year we had our new management come in with the Braves, and they were guys that were, you know, had, I think they had worked with the Blue Jays and Dodgers in the past, and I know the Dodgers are one of the teams that are, you know, pretty forward as far as the analytical side goes. So I know this year was a lot different. I mean, every series having, you know, all the pitchers go in, have the meetings, and they'll hit you with all the information that they got, and it's just a matter of picking out, like, you know, what works for you. And it's very, very individualized too, which helps. I know in the playoffs you come out of the bullpen with your own wristband of scouting reports to give to the catcher, so that was definitely different. First time coming out of the pen, I had to give the catcher a quarterback wristband, so that was definitely different. But I think for me, the biggest thing that I took away from it was me being able to use my fastball up, because I've always been a four-seam guy. So utilizing that elevated fastball, you know, my whole life, they're like, work at the knees, hit the bottom of the zone, that's where you want to be. And then now they're saying that, you know, my fastball up and away from a righty is one of my best pitches. So it's been kind of definitely an adjustment, but I think it's all been good, because they do a good job of giving you what you need for what works for you.
Yeah, that's some really good insight and an excellent answer. And actually, you kind of touched upon one of my future questions, so I'm gonna skip to it. In that you came in relief in the playoffs. Looking back, I don't know what you did in summer ball necessarily in the Cape, but as far as I looked, until the September 30th game where you threw the sixth inning against the Phillies, you hadn't appeared in relief since your sophomore year at Hartford. Then you do it in games 162. And then you make your postseason debut as a reliever. Was that difficult for you at all, or a hard adjustment, or was it something that you enjoyed doing?
I enjoyed it. I mean, I knew kind of why it was happening, and, you know, we were getting ready for the playoffs, and there was a possibility of me needing to be out there. So I kind of, you know, I was fired up about it. I mean, I was coming out in 162 and the sixth inning was definitely different. I'm happy I got that out of the way, so I kind of knew what it felt like to run in from there and everything. But yeah, it was definitely different for sure. I think I pitched after my sophomore year. I made, I think, probably two relief appearances in summer ball. But yeah, that would have been probably my last one sophomore year.
Yeah, definitely. It was a lot of fun watching you come out of the bullpen. It was really cool to see. Just a follow up to that. Do you think there's any sort of potential, or if this is something that you personally would enjoy, in that the general starter, you know, they throw on day one, day two, three, four, and five, they get their 4 days rest, and then day six, they start again, and you generally throw a bullpen or two in between. Do you think that this is something that could be a trend in the future, something you'd be open to, in that instead of throwing bullpens in between, you threw an inning or two in game as your bullpen?
I think situationally it's not bad, but I don't think that would be good to get into, every time. Because for me, I throw my bullpen on day two, so 2 days after I pitch. Mm-hmm. And I know on those days I'm probably more sore there than I am right after I pitch or day one. Just kind of that second day soreness. I know for some people that would be tough. And then obviously, you know, you're not going full bore in your bullpens. I usually keep it pretty low and just work on my stuff. So I think in situations, it's okay, but I don't think it'd be something good to get into, doing all the time.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's a great answer. All right, so let's get to your pitch mix a little bit. And you're generally like a right about a 60-40 guy with 60% fastballs, 40% off speed, mainly change-up curveball in terms of your off speed. Compared to 2017 and looking at 2018, both your changeup and curveball, when looking at weighted on base average against these pitches, they both drastically increased, so you got much better results on your off-speed pitches. Were there any tweaks you made to these pitches, or how you used them or where you threw them, that allowed you to get these improvements on your off-speed pitches?
For me, the changeup was something this year that changed a lot. I think I threw it a lot more, got a better feel for it. And I think coming out of my first, chunk of time in the big leagues, I was throwing a lot of fastballs, a lot of curveballs, not a lot of changeup. So the people were starting to kind of eliminate the curveball and look for the fastball, it seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
So the changeup obviously plays off the fastball really well. And I was able to find a good, good feel for it. And it was having some good depth, and I was able to put it where I wanted, especially early in the year. It seemed like it was, giving some people a different look that they weren't ready for. People definitely made an adjustment. The changeup, typically you try to start it low, maybe have it fall just out of the zone. And for me, that was kind of, I was getting a lot of swing and misses. And then, as the second half came around, there was a lot more patience. So that was kind of when I kind of had to make an adjustment. But changeup was huge for me. The curveball for me is something that I need to throw. If I'm popping it up, if it's coming out early and landing, up and into a lefty, up and away from a righty, and a bad one, that's typically when I'm not throwing it as hard, like full aggressiveness. So
mm-hmm.
for me, with that, I just gotta, in my mind, I just let it rip. Just try to spin it as fast as I can, throw as hard as I can, and let it work, because I try to get too pretty with it, and it kind of, start to pop out. And that was kind of where I was earlier in the year. And then in the middle, I was kind of able to rein them both in. They both were, huge for me.
Yeah, definitely. I like how you gave some insight to how you cue yourself on your curveball, trying to throw it as hard as you can. And I want to touch on, because you did mention that you threw your changeup more. Looking at it, actually, in 2017, you used it 10.8% of the time, and you used it 19.1% of the time in 2018, and you dialed back on your curveball usage a little bit from 21.6% of the time in 2017 to 14.3% in 2018. Was this flip-flop kind of because of what you touched upon in 2017? It felt like hitters were laying off your curveball and just looking fastball, or was there something more to it as to why you kind of flip-flopped your usage rates for the pitches?
I think the drop in the curveball might have been just the result in having the success with the changeup and fastball and just not needing it mm-hmm. as much. Obviously, the changeup fastball working well. I was throwing that more. I know I throw a slider as my fourth pitch, but I don't.
Mm-hmm.
It typically meshes with the curveball as far as velo and what people think it is, because it's usually 82, 84, kind of just above that curveball spot, and it's just a little bit of an angle change. But I think the curveball for me, it's definitely a feel pitch. There's times where I'm not, but I think in that second half of the year, I was starting to really kind of feel it, and there was times where I wasn't really missing with it, and it felt good. You know, it was good to kind of conquer that and get that under control.
Yeah, yeah. I really like that answer. And there's one, I'm going to ask a follow-up question to one of them. You kind of said, because you are right, when you look at Baseball Savant, which is the website that hosts all StatCast statistics, for those listening who may not know, it says you only threw your slider about 4% of the time. And you kind of said that your slider and curveball blend in a little bit. Have you ever thought about trying to look in and maybe use some sort of high-speed camera or something to maybe differentiate the pitches a little more so that you know exactly what you're trying to do with them? Or do you like how they kind of mix in a little bit and think that that gives hitters some fits?
Yeah, honestly, I haven't really given it too much thought, the differences in the two. I think, you know, obviously there's good and bad grip breaking balls. I'll throw my slider, a bad loopy one, and it'll be 82. But then there's definitely times where I get more cutter-ish, I say. I try to throw it like a cutter just to try to keep that hard, you know, velo and later break on it. So I think it's just a matter of reps for me, just getting them both in and, you know, seeing how the slider's feeling, seeing what adjustments I can make to make it more toward a fastball. That's kind of my thought process as far as, you know, I picture it like my curveball's all the way to the left. I bring it, and then my fastball's in the middle. I got to find a good spot in the middle to kind of, you know, get that late break and that fastball, making sure it's looking like a fastball out of my hand and everything. I think that it's definitely more effective on lefties. Mm-hmm. There's definitely times where I get it down in on righties, and I think that the curveball and the slider need to kind of, it's not too bad when they mesh, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It's not a bad thing with mesh because they kind of, you know, they're both effective in their own way, but at the same time, if you throw a nasty slur that's 83, I'm going to take that all day.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, I mean, you obviously have incredible stuff, and it definitely works for you. Something curious, it's kind of been a theme we've been talking about. You've mentioned how your curveball works really well to lefties when you can locate it, and how when you spin it and get a good feel for it, you just know, and it's something that could be really well. So something interesting that I picked up on is looking specifically about how your curveball performed against lefties when looking at weighted on base average. In 2017, hitters had a 302 wOBA, and in 2018, the number just completely fell to 141. But your usage actually decreased a lot as well. In 2017, you threw 116 curveballs to lefties in 100 innings, and in 2018, you only threw 67 in about 164. I'm sure these are numbers you already know. Knowing how dominant your curveball was against lefties in 2017, now you have the changeup playing up as well as it did in 2018. In 2019, do you think that we could look forward to you using your curveball a lot more against lefties since they've had so much trouble to hit it?
I think, like, again, it goes situationally. I mean, there's definitely days where I don't even face lefties because, you know, they run out of all-righty lineup against me. But, you know, looking at when I'm facing a lefty, you got to think about what makes them uncomfortable. And I think that, obviously, you know, a big curveball, left-on-left curveball, obviously, is one of those things that just, you know, gives lefties a hard time. I think, but then, you know, the curveball is not there without the fastball or the changeups, you know, so they all kind of work together. If my fastball is not on and the curveball is not effective, so you got to make sure you kind of got to stay on top of everything. But I could definitely see myself, you know, getting a good feel with one of those breaking balls and, you know, definitely sticking with it a lot this year.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so let's switch it up a little bit and just talk a little bit about kind of some advice that you may give. Obviously, you've mentioned you're a Northeast guy. We've spoke about you going to Hartford a little bit, but what advice do you have for Northeast guys kind of as a poster child who throws hard and has been able to make it to the major leagues, for kids who are in areas where it's not warm all year round and you can't play all year round, what advice do you have for them that can help them develop the best that they possibly can and chase their dreams?
That's tough, you know, because everyone does something different. There's the kids that kind of, you know, want to specialize or whatever, you know, play one sport and kind of focus on that. And then there's the kids that play all three sports. For me, you know, growing up, I wasn't, obviously everyone wants to be a big leaguer, but that wasn't what I already had in mind. I'd say for me, the biggest thing that kind of kept me athletic and kept me feeling, you know, strong throughout all different sports was playing different sports. I'm a huge believer, you know, playing, you know, anything you can in the fall and winter to kind of stay active. And obviously there's always time to work on baseball. I was always doing some kind of fall ball games in the weekends, or in the winters I was getting in with my AAU team and doing indoor facility. But I'd say just to make sure you're not overworking yourself as far as the baseball goes, because that can be done so easily. That was one thing that, you know, even my mom was always worried about, my pitch count, making sure I wasn't doing too much with my arm, because you know how they're so fragile, and being up in the cold weather, you don't really get as many reps, so your arm's not ready to go. For me, I'm 25 now, and you know, the pitching coach this year, he talks to me, and he tells me all the time, he's like, I look at you as a 22-year-old, 23-year-old pitcher, because you know, you don't have as many reps. You only play 20 to 30 high school games a year, 20, 25 high school games a year, versus, you know, kids that are playing all year round. But I mean, that was kind of how it worked for me. And obviously everybody's different. I'd say that's one of the biggest things too, is to not drill yourself into baseball, not make yourself go crazy about it and make yourself get hurt about it, because there's no need to do that. You need to kind of make sure you're staying active and staying strong. That's just totally, I'd say.
Yeah, I absolutely love that answer. What were the other two sports you played in high school?
Just football and basketball.
Okay. Which one were you better at?
Football.
Really?
I was always really into football, yeah. Tried to play a little college ball, too. But baseball was obviously the route I wanted to go.
Okay. What position do you play for football?
I was always a tight end, and like outside linebacker, like up DN, you know, like a like an upright DN.
I gotcha. I gotcha. 6'5" tight end from Massachusetts. I'm sure you absolutely lit up the scoreboard.
Yeah, we did a little bit. We weren't the best, but yeah, some fun.
Yeah, definitely. I absolutely love that answer. So if there's any parents, coaches, or kids listening, don't specialize too early. Let your kids play other sports and be a kid and have some fun. But yeah, I absolutely love it. All right, let's talk about the Braves a little bit. How much fun was this year for you, being able to go to the postseason, being on a supremely talented roster, and also a super young roster too? So it's not just that, you know, you guys made it to the postseason this year and it's going to be difficult to get back there in 2019. Obviously, you guys have already made additions, but we'll touch on that. But how exciting was this year for you, getting to play in October, seeing the influx of young talent on the roster, and looking ahead to the future for that?
It was awesome. I mean, from the start in spring, you know, things were good. Snit opened up saying, you know, we're not here to play 162 and go home. We have a real good chance at, you know, competing and being good this year. And, you know, it kind of stuck that way the whole year. It never really changed. And it all came from the top down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The people in the clubhouse, the older guys, the veterans kind of taking over and, you know, leading the charge with Freddie and everybody. And it was a lot of fun. I think that there was always a sense of, the whole year for me at least, there was always a sense of like, we're going to be playing in October. There was never really, you know, we were going to play in divisional teams, Washington, Philly, you know, New York and Miami. We were right off the bat, we were playing with them. I remember the first time we played the Phillies, they were supposed to be the team that was the team to beat this year. And, you know, we had a good opening day, and we kind of just kept rolling from there. You know, Cakes hit a walk-off on opening day, and from there it kind of felt like everybody was looking at us. And there was also the part where it was my first full year, and I kept having to, you know, take a second and be like, well, like I'm here. We gotta, it's time to, you know, I'm in a playoff push on a good team, and this is kind of where I've been looking to be my whole life. So it kind of really kind of made us all step up. You know, we were all doing it together for the first time too, and it made it pretty fun.
Yeah, definitely. You guys are super fun to watch down the stretch, and just an absolutely exciting young team. So obviously recently the Braves are the very early winners of the offseason, obviously signing veteran catcher Brian McCann, but also you guys just signed former MVP and third baseman Josh Donaldson. How exciting is that for you to see as a player, where you're training for the offseason and your front office is dedicated to winning and you guys are bringing in former MVPs? How excited are you for that, and how big of an impact do you think these guys can make on your roster?
Too, obviously, anytime you can bring in players of that caliber, it's great. you know, with Donaldson, he's one of those electric players. He'll be over there in the corner, hopefully, and, you know, leading us with Freddie in the offense and everybody. But, I mean, and Ronald, obviously, and everybody, Ozzie. But, you know, it's fun just to see that, and awesome that we're going to have a good another good veteran catcher back there with Brian. And he actually already reached out to me just to say hi. And, you know, that's obviously a great sign. Mm-hmm. Atlanta's probably where he wants to be. I'm pretty sure that's his home. So mm-hmm. that's awesome that we'll have, you know, both our catchers are actually both veterans from the Atlanta area with Flowers and now McCann. So it makes it fun.
Mm-hmm. That's got to be an awesome feeling for you. You know, you sign a veteran catcher. This guy's an unbelievable player. And he's already reached out to you. You guys are probably going to have a strong relationship. And it just shows how invested he is in winning. But all right, don't want to take up too much more of your time, so just going to ask a few kind of rapid questions that kind of my coworkers here at SOTG and I came up with. They're kind of silly and fun, but just a few. So the first one is, do you think you could beat the Freeze?
No, I can't. We see him run all the time. He's always working there, and you know, we've seen him run out there. Dude's legitimately fast. I'm pretty sure he runs he does some Olympic trials and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So does he actually train at the ballpark or with the team or anything?
No, I've never seen him train, but you can tell when they're racing somebody and they hit about that halfway point, the 400 sign, you can see his strides just continuing and everyone else is getting tired. I don't think I could keep up for that long.
No, that's great. It's great entertainment. It's really funny. All right, this is kind of a silly question. This one of our guys here is a Nationals fan, so he really wanted me to ask: is Freddie Freeman a robot, but specifically sent here to destroy the Nationals?
Maybe he is. I don't know. I haven't cracked that code yet. But you know, obviously Freddie's a great player. He's probably one of the best, you know, top couple. Handful of people in the league, so it's awesome to be able to play with him every day.
Yeah, definitely. He's super fun, and him and Donaldson talking hitting, I know they kind of have, seems like opposite philosophies, but obviously two of the best players in the game, that's definitely going to be some cool conversations that they're going to have. And obviously, you talked about your catchers a little bit, obviously McCann, but Tyler Flowers is the primary guy there. He's finished top five the past two seasons in adjusted framing runs above average, which is a framing statistic from Baseball Prospectus. But what's it like throwing to him? Just such an excellent receiver who's able to steal so many strikes for his pitchers.
It's awesome. I mean, you can see how hard he works at it. He just, even the way he does it's a little looks unorthodox. The way he just, it's such an exaggerated, the way he works the glove and everything. But I mean, We love it. All the pitching staff, we all make jokes about it. If he does one while someone else is pitching, we'll be elbowing each other. Like, you see that one? Like, it's awesome to have, you know, obviously we're aware of his framing ability, so it's awesome to have him back there.
Mm-hmm.
Good guy.
That's awesome. I wish when I played as a catcher, I could receive 1/100th as well as Tyler Flowers could. But, all right, one last question for you. Obviously, now signing Donaldson, it seems like the Braves won't be signing Harper or Machado. If you were GM and you could sign one free agent on the market, looking at your current roster and everything, who would it be?
It's a tough one. I guess one free agent, I would say probably Nick Markakis. Bring him back, stick him in right. I would love to have him back. So he's obviously a huge piece of what we did last year.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think that it would kind of be different without him around there, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, definitely. That's a great answer, and it's definitely a testament to how close you guys are and the culture that you brought in. But Sean, just want to thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it. This was awesome. I definitely know I enjoyed it, and I know everyone who will listen to this will enjoy it. But just thanks again for coming on. Best of luck in the 2019 season, and we really look forward to watching you perform.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. All right, guys, thanks for listening to another edition of the SOTG podcast. We will be back for a great episode next week. Thanks again. We'll see you soon.